Chapter 2. Run Like Mad. The rehabilitation of Louis Zamperini began in 1931 with a key. 14-year-old Louis was in a locksmith shop when he heard someone say that if you put any key in any lock, it has a 1 in 50 chance of fitting. Inspired, Louis began collecting keys and trying locks. He had no luck until he tried his house key on the back door of the Torrance High gym. When basketball season began, there was an inexplicable discrepancy between the number of 10-cent tickets sold and the considerably larger number of kids in the bleachers. In late 1931, someone caught on, and Louis was hauled to the principal's office for the umpteenth time. In California, winter-born students entered new grades in January, so Louis was about to start ninth grade. The principal punished him by making him ineligible for athletic and social activities. Louis, who never joined anything, was indifferent. When Pete learned what had happened, he headed straight to the principal's office. Though his mother didn't yet speak much English, he towed her along to give his presentation weight. He told the principal that Louis craved attention, but had never won it in the form of praise, so he sought it in the form of punishment. If Louis were recognized for doing something right, Pete argued, he'd turn his life around. He asked the principal to allow Louis to join a sport. When the principal balked, Pete asked him if he could live with allowing Louis to fail. It was a cheeky thing for a 16-year-old to say to his principal, but Pete was the one kid in Torrance who could get away with such a remark and make it persuasive. Louis was made eligible for athletics for 1932. Pete had big plans for Louis. A senior in 1931-32, he would graduate with 10 varsity letters, including 3 in basketball and 3 in baseball. But it was track, in which he earned 4 varsity letters, tied the school half-mile record, and set its mile record of 5 minutes 6 seconds, that was his true forte. Looking at Louis, whose getaway speed was his saving grace, Pete thought he saw the same incipient talent. As it turned out, it wasn't Pete who got Louis onto a track for the first time. It was Louis's weakness for girls. In February, the ninth grade girls began assembling a team for an interclass track meet. And in a class with only 4 boys, Louis was the only male who looked like he could run. The girls worked their charms, and Louis found himself standing on the track, barefoot, for a 660-yard race. When everyone ran, he followed, churning along with jimmying elbows and dropping far behind. As he labored home last, he heard tittering. Gasping and humiliated, he ran straight off the track and hid under the bleachers. The coach muttered something about how that kid belonged anywhere but in a foot race. "He's my brother," Pete replied. From that day on, Pete was all over Louis, forcing him to train, then dragging him to the track to run in a second meet. Urged on by kids in the stands, Louis put in just enough effort to beat one boy and finish 3rd. He hated running, but the applause was intoxicating, and the prospect of more was just enough incentive to keep him marginally compliant. Pete herded him out to train every day and rode his bicycle behind him, whacking him with a stick. Louis dragged his feet, belly ached, and quit at the first sign of fatigue. Pete made him get up and keep going. Louis started winning. At the season's end, he became the first Torrance kid to make the All-City Finals. He finished 5th. Pete had been right about Louis's talent. But to Louis, training felt like one more constraint. At night, he listened to the whistles of passing trains. And one day, in the summer of 32, he couldn't bear it any longer.